From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Bayview.
Outer Sunset.
I live in Bernal Heights.
St. Francis Wood.
La Lengua.
Coal Valley.
Alemany Boulevard.
Coming up, residents of Brisbane fight back against pressure to build high-rises.
It's not the right thing to do. It's not the right place for it, and it's not the right use of the land.
We'll hear about the future of Brisbane and also about its past, how the town got its start in the dark days of the Great Depression.
So they dropped the price from over $1,000 per lot to starting at $100 a lot, and you could buy a lot for $10 down and $5 a month.
And we'll learn how a local legend, singer Faye Carroll, helps people find their voices.
Breathe, I can. Breathe, I will. Breathe, I'm gonna try.
Breathe it all in. Cross Currents is next. A few months ago, the small town of Brisbane made it clear that it was looking to build a huge development that would not include any new housing at all. Well, that didn't go over so well with elected officials in the neighboring city of San Francisco. And San Francisco Supervisor Jane Kim floated the idea of basically annexing part of Brisbane into her city so that San Francisco could make sure that housing got built. See, in the midst of a regional housing shortage where squeezing new units into San Francisco is a hard-fought battle, suburbs that refuse to build have become scapegoats for the housing affordability crisis. But as you can imagine, the people of Brisbane aren't so into the whole annexation idea. KALW's housing reporter Liza Veal reports.
Brisbane has been dealing with San Francisco's garbage for a long time.
If you live or work in San Francisco, what you threw away yesterday is probably here today. This is in the town of Brisbane, and here garbage is big business and serious business.
This is from a 1965 news story about the dump that's now the site of the proposed development where San Francisco lawmakers want Brisbane to build high-rises. The area is known as the Baylands.
But the people of Brisbane, or at least a large number of them, were not at all happy about the prospect of letting San Francisco continue to dump its garbage at their front door.
And now that the owner of the Baylands finally wants to develop the land, the people of Brisbane are not at all happy about San Franciscans coming to their city council meetings to tell them what to do. Like this citizen, Tom Hines.
Tonight you will hear some elegant statements, whining, crying for housing. These folks live in a vacuum with only dollar signs driving their tears. The bullies are thumping their chest. Allow Brisbane residents to speak first.
Brisbane borders San Francisco. It's actually closer than SFO, nestled right into San Bruno Mountain. The Baylands site is less than a mile from a Caltrain stop that can get you to downtown San Francisco in 15 minutes. But to locals like Michelle Salmon, Brisbane's always been a world away.
This is the main drag. When I was a little kid, there was no sidewalks, just these giant gutters that the water would just run down and you had to go to, like, cross where you could or be swallowed up.
Driving around with Salmon, Brisbane feels like a village from a long gone era. The houses were built by hand with scrap wood, cobbled together over time. They look sort of improvised, but colorful and well kept.
We'll swing by, just go up the street where I live, just for fun.
There are only 4,400 residents here. That means if Brisbane built as much housing on the Baylands as San Francisco and other neighbors want it to, the town's population would triple. A lot of what stayed the same about Brisbane for so long, that small town feel, would change.
This gray house is the house I grew up in. My dad built that house. And on this side of the street is the house that my grandmother built.
We drive up San Bruno Mountain, leaving the houses snuggled down below. Salmon opposes housing on the Baylands because she doesn't believe the landfill is safe to live on.
All my small town, love the mountain things aside, it's not the right thing to do. It's not the right place for it, and it's not the right use of the land.
Her idea is to create a renewable energy plant on the site. Everybody has their own vision for the Baylands. From the top of the mountain, there's a 360-degree view as far as the eye can see. It's almost all filled in with development. up here, the Baylands doesn't look so big.
I just want to take in the other side a little bit.
It's pretty incredible
while we're up here.
But for the city's current mayor, Cliff Lentz, there's nothing bigger.
It will be one of those things that will test the character of our community like no other project has.
Mayor Lentz says the Baylands is definitely not getting annexed, but he refuses to take an official position on building housing there. He says he'll decide once he can be sure the site isn't poisonous to live on. It used to be a dump, after all, and a lot of people think there's no way to make it totally safe. But hypothetically, Mayor Lentz likes the idea of building a groundbreakingly sustainable development. He's actually spent a lot of time designing proposals for a sort of eco-village with shared cars, shared gardens, gray water systems.
You would have something that you will not find anywhere in the western part of the United States, maybe in the whole entire country.
Mayor Lentz knows his town is very divided about the Baylands project. They don't all want to block housing. One of his constituents wrote him a letter recently saying Brisbane should do its part to help with the shortage. In the letter, she quoted former First Lady Rosalind Carter.
It says, a leader takes people where they want to go, and a great leader takes them where they ought to be.
But how do you inspire a town to do something they don't want to do just for the sake of the rest of the region? Some pro-housing advocates from out of town tried to help make the case to Brisbane at a city council meeting in September. Sonia Trouse was one of them. She's the founder of the Bay Area Renters Federation. She says her group didn't exactly have a productive dialogue with the locals.
We weren't even talking about the project anymore. We were talking about, like, who should say if there's a project.
Trouse has advocated for housing in towns all over the Bay Area. Her group is even suing the suburb of Lafayette for failing to meet housing targets set by regional planning agencies. She's made a few enemies. People who think,
basically, you know, we're developer shills and that we're lobbyists and the developers pay us to be there, stuff like that.
Well, does that mean that you guys don't get any money from developers?
Barely any.
Less than 1% of the money your group's raised, she says. And the rest comes from other people like her, people who think building more housing will make the area more affordable. But pro-growth, pro-density people are not winning the political battle to get the suburbs to build. Communities keep finding ways to oppose housing. And there are three basic kinds of objections.
The most often that I see are there's traffic, there's neighborhood character, and there are environmental issues.
Seamus Roller is a tenants' rights organizer, and he works on housing and homelessness policy at a state level. He's not gung-ho about all development everywhere. He says there are other tools lawmakers can use to make housing affordable besides just build, build, build. But when it comes to unused land like the Baylands, it's an easy call.
There's not enough housing, especially being built in places like Marin, in places in much of Silicon Valley, the Arendas of the world. Like, those places are not building enough housing to meet the demand of this giant city that we're a part of.
Regional planners say the shortage is mostly driven by how many jobs the Bay Area is adding. The reason they want to stop displacement is because they say it's important to keep people who are poor from getting pushed away from the city centers. That's where all the opportunities and resources are. Also,
that putting people near where their jobs are is one of the most environmentally impactful things that you can do as far as climate change.
But places like Brisbane don't necessarily see long commutes and high rents as their problem. So it's hard for lawmakers to ask them to help big cities improve those things. What do they get out of it? That's what some regional planners are asking themselves. Some say we need to form something like an EU of the Bay Area that can either force places to build or offer something in return.
Over there you can see Sweeney Ridge and Pacifica. And out here you can see where Point Reyes is up there?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that amazing?
It's hard to see what would make it worth it to people like Michelle Salmon. She is well aware of the arguments for density development, but she's going to keep pushing for a renewable energy plant on the Baylands. Her anxieties are a lot bigger than high rises.
4,400 units of housing? That's a drop in the bucket. That's nothing. That's nothing. That will not solve any housing crisis or any energy crisis that we're facing. We are facing a crisis in this country, beyond, in this world, beyond what has ever been imagined. Your future is going to be way different than mine.
Brisbane's not the only town fighting to protect its way of life. Recently, state lawmakers tried to pass legislation that streamlines development by overriding local community input. It hasn't happened yet, but don't expect the fight to go away. In Brisbane, I'm Liza Veal for Cross Currents.
Liza Veal is KALW's housing reporter. Tell her what stories you'd like her to cover. Reach her by email at housing@kalw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Julie Kane, in for Hanat Baba. We just heard how the small town of Brisbane is standing its ground in defiance of regional pressure to build high-rises on a landfill in town. Well, this isn't the first time Brisbane has taken a contrary stand, according to former city council member Fred Smith.
Brisbane kind of has that reputation of taking on large, powerful interests and being able to take them on and winning.
That willingness to stand up to its big neighbor to the north once had people calling Brisbane the mouse that roared. That's just one of many nicknames it's earned, as KALW's Stephen Short tells us in this episode of The Source.
I've been looking into the origin of Bay Area place names for several years now. Like many communities, the place we now call Brisbane started off as something else, the City of Visitation, to be exact. But while name changes are common, I don't know of any other that has had so many nicknames. Little Reno, the Garbage Dump Town, and the City of Stars, to name a few. But before we get into all those nicknames, let's look into the history that brought them about. Like many places along the peninsula, Brisbane, or more accurately, the City of Visitation, got its start after the 1906 San Francisco earthquake and fire. But former City Council member Fred Smith says things didn't go so well.
The spine of development on the peninsula was along the El Camino Real, and so Brisbane was a little off the beaten track, I think. And not only that, but the lots were fairly expensive for what you got.
Being a bit secluded is one of its charms today, but at that time, there weren't enough public services to attract buyers.
I think there were only about 28 homes built until around 1929.
That's when things went from bad to worse.
In 1929, years of booming prosperity ended in catastrophe. It was the biggest stock market crash since records began.
People who were living comfortably one day were dead broke the next.
So they dropped the price from over $1,000 per lot to starting at $100 a lot, and you could buy a lot for $10 down and $5 a month.
Wow, what a deal, even at the start of the Depression.
And suddenly activity started springing up all over town.
If this place called Visitation City was getting a new start, it needed a new name. One that wouldn't be confused with any other in the Bay Area. Former council member Smith says that had been a problem since the City of Visitation sounded so much like the nearby San Francisco neighborhood of Visitation Valley.
You call it rebranding today, but they decided to change the name to Brisbane. Nobody really knows exactly why the name Brisbane was picked. There's two theories. One is that it was named after the city in Australia.
Climate subtropical. Brisbane.
And the other, that it was named after a popular journalist, what I understand he was kind of the Herb Cain of his day, named Arthur Brisbane.
Arthur Brisbane became one of the best-known newspaper editors in the country after he was hired by William Randolph Hearst to run the New York Journal newspaper. But there's no record of him having any connections to California. He never even came for a visit. What is known for certain is that the new name was bestowed on the community by real estate developer Arthur Annis, considered by all to be the father of the town. Those unbeatable low prices encouraged buyers to put up more than 400 new homes in 3 years. The Brisbane Sun proudly called it a building record unsurpassed by any other community in the United States or any other part of the world. One resident of that time recalled the building boom started because rents were so high in San Francisco. This was in the early 1930s, remember. And because
there was no building laws. They just put up any kind of shack they wanted to live in.
Fred Smith, the former city council member, notes that the building codes weren't the only thing Brisbane didn't have. There was no police force. It was still secluded. This was Prohibition-era America.
And being located right along the bay was an ideal place for, you know, the smuggling of illegal liquor. So it was kind of a perfect situation for activities, so to speak, that you wouldn't want noticed by the law enforcement. Let's put it that way.
Prohibition ended in 1933, but Brisbane remained unincorporated into the early 1960s, and taverns lined the streets.
The legends are that there was, in the back rooms, there were card games going on and slot machines and...
You think so?
I think so. You know, when the sheriff was on his way up, the warning would go out, the facade would go back up, and it was, you know, just, they were just having a beer here.
These shady activities earned Brisbane the nickname of Little Reno. And later, during World War II, when enlisted men descended on the town on weekends, it was called the Second Barbary Coast. Worst of all, outsiders called it the garbage dump town, because San Francisco used Brisbane's bay as a dump for over 60 years.
The bayfront was being despoiled by our, you know, large neighbor to the north, and it was something that we didn't have any means of stopping it. So in the 1960s, after Brisbane incorporated, we battled the garbage companies fiercely to try to stop the dumping and to stop the filling of the bayfront.
This sense of independence is built into the community, which is why some called it the Mouse That Roared, inspired by a Peter Sellers movie. It's about a tiny country that declares war on the United States.
Well, Your Grace, I know it'll come as a surprise, a pleasant one, I hope, but we sort of won.
But add all these nicknames together, and they still get less attention than this one. The City of Stars.
Most towns, individual neighborhoods, or you'll have a Christmas tree lane, or you know, one or two streets will organize and decorate.
But in Brisbane, the whole town puts lighted stars on their homes and businesses.
Well, the stars are a tradition that started, I think, right before World War II, when someone in the Chamber of Commerce decided to put a star on their house and put Christmas lights on it.
Soon, the chamber was handing out 5-foot diameter wooden stars to everyone in town.
It really caught on. People really liked it. Partly because if you drove by on the Bayshore Boulevard, you could look up at the hillside and see sprinkled with stars at night.
Bay Area fog and light pollution often prevent us from seeing the stars in the sky. So the next time you're traveling past Brisbane on any December evening, remember to have a quick look up at that starry hillside. Just make sure the driver doesn't look for too long. In Brisbane, I'm Stephen Short for Cross Currents.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Julie Kane, and for Hanat Baba. Faye Carroll has been part of the Bay Area music scene since she moved from Meridian, Mississippi to Pittsburgh, California as a young girl. Known widely as the dynamic Miss Faye Carroll, she defies labels, singing everything from cabaret to gospel to jazz. Now she's passing along the joy she finds in song at her monthly School of the Get Down classes in Berkeley, where she uses her own love of music to help everyday people find their voice. Let's listen.
People think if you're black, you automatically started in church. Well, I actually started in school. So I started singing very young, and then people would give me money. So that meant I would sing a lot. I'd go to the hair salon and get under the dryer, and you don't know you're singing loud. So they would wait for me to come get my hair did. I would be in there just singing. So I was hooked, pretty much. And I think I'm, like my mother said, I never knew my real father, but she says I'm like him. So she says, you're ham just like your dad. So I guess so. I'm not going to deny it.
Baby, I
I love you so much, I'm so glad that you are mine. Baby, I love you so much, I'm so glad that you are mine. Baby, you fill me with joy and a whole lot of peace of mind.
You know, I'm real partial to singers. And I had a pretty good time coming along. Things wasn't so industry-led. There were a lot of community things to do. Just in rec centers, neighborhoods, going across the street to my friend's house. Everybody's house had a piano in it. And somebody in there could kind of plunk on it. You didn't have to be a virtuoso.
Well, good evening. I'm gonna say it again, y'all. Good evening.
Good evening.
Okay, you know, I like to feel you. I am Faye Carroll, and I am welcoming you to the School of the Get Down. This is, don't throw a clap for yourself.
So I wanted to have a safe place to fall, to try things, to be a better musician, to know more people than you did when you come in the door. You feel more love, right? So when you leave out, you feel more love than you did when you walked in. So you're going to be connected with somebody for the rest of your life because of this music and what you share with it.
Y'all, please get together. Give my babies a great big round of applause because they're going to come and sing for you. Yes.
So if you haven't sang, don't compare yourself to somebody else because you are you. And you are valid and you are good enough. So when you find out somebody else has a great big voice and your voice is a smaller voice, that don't mean your voice is not a strong voice. Strength is strength no matter what. If you turn on a fire and the fire's turned low, it's still hot. It's hot, it's hot, it's hot. So you just come on and be hot. Any kind of way you want to be. That's what you do.
So, in any case, we're going to love to hear my baby sing for you. Goody, goody.
It works on your soul and your heart. It's not so cerebral. It's spiritual. It's not tangible. You can't touch it. You can see the notes on the paper, but you can't, once you hit an instrument or once I make a sound and come out of my mouth, you can't touch it. You can't grab it. But it spreads far and it spreads wide and it touches people. It touches your brain. It touches your heart, and it just soothes the savage beast, is what it does.
Now, how do you do?
That's it.
So you lie awake, just singing the blues all night.
That's good.
Goody, goody.
Huh.
So you think that love's a barrel of dynamite.
Don't breathe, I can't. Breathe, I can. Breathe, I will. Breathe, I'm gonna try. 'Cause don't nothing beat a failure but a try. So I have surprised a lot of people when they didn't know they could. They just wanted to, but that's that fear thing. And that's something somebody else might have told you that got that seed planted, that I can, or I'm scared, or I don't want to, or I don't sound good as X, Y, and Z, or da 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 da. All that talk, be gone. Because actually it's your heart. And if you breathe in, you got a heart. And you can sing. Yes. I believe that.
You rascal.
What is it?
You rascal.
I'm going to tell him one more time.
You rascal. You.
Faye Carroll will be at the SF Jazz Center this Friday and Saturday with a show called Carolizing Christmas. For details, head to our website, kalw.org.
Oh, you dirty dog, I'm going to tell you something right now. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you. When you're dead in the ground and you'll quit chasing my wife around. Oh, you dog. You dirty rascal, you.
And that's our show today. The team includes Jürgen Klemm, Leela Day, Nina Gensler-Debs, Angela Johnston, Olivia Henry, Jeremy Jew, Ted Muldoon, Lisa Morehouse, James Rollins, Carrie Spivak, Stephen Short, and Andrew Stelzer. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Our news director is Ben Trefney. Today's show was engineered by Chris Hoff. The line producer was Hannah Kingsley Ma. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. For Cross Currents, I'm Julie Kane.
Oh, you dog. You dirty rascal, you. Yeah. You rascal.